Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Force Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, breaking news, and life itself. That's right. This is a Star Wars news roundup edition of the show. I'm Ken Nebs.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and I want to establish right at the beginning of today's show, for those of you watching on YouTube, this is ginger beer, not whiskey, because I've made the mistake of drinking ginger beer during a business meeting, and I saw the person's eyes go, wow, really? Really? At 10 a.m.? This is ginger beer.
And I'm Jennifer Landa, and I just have my usual coffee.
I was really hoping Jen would just pull a fifth of bourbon into the screen there. We're here to talk about news. We love doing our questions of the everything. We've been having fun doing that. Subjective Wars. We moved away from Star Wars news on a weekly basis just because, I'll be honest first here, you all can follow up and agree with me. Sometimes I just don't want to talk about it. Here, it's a new Yoda satchel released as part of Season of the Force 9 or something. It's you know, it is what it is. But sometimes the news gets so exciting, and so we're going to take a little bit of a news roundup, stories from the last couple of weeks, put them in this one episode, and we have breaking news. Jennifer, are you excited about breaking news?
I am. I was excited that we were going to be tackling the news again, and then we literally are breaking this news right now. I feel like, I was going to say Walter Cronkite. I wouldn't go that far.
Taking the glasses off. The Acolyte poster has been released. I'm thrilled. I was already excited to talk the news because, I got burnt out on it because before the strike, we were in a Star Wars news time where it was like, cool, they're action figures. I don't have enough room for them. There's a Yoda puppet that's for a child. I don't have children. And we were stuck in another quote from someone at a convention saying, yep, we're working on that film It trying to dig through that for actual news got me a little burned out. But now when we get back to it and we've saved it up, there's actually exciting things to talk about. And we've been rewarded. We already planned a news show. And what do you know? News drops.
news drops. And I did get a couple texts and DMs today of, did you guys already start recording? It's the curse is real. But this episode's out today. We will do a couple things here right now. We'll first let you know that tomorrow, that's right, Tuesday, I don't even know the day anymore. What is that? The 19th, Tuesday the 19th, we'll be doing a special Acolyte trailer live stream. Yes, we're going to talk about that Acolyte breaking news here in just a second, but get ready for that. We're going to be diving into the trailer and having fun with that. Before we begin, though, I have to say this show is brought to you by Audible. That's right. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, and MP3 player. Help the show in the process. And we're going to go to our recommendation here right now. It is timely because we are about to see a show that's at the end of the High Republic era. Go back to the very beginning and try Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule if you have not had a chance to take in that book. It's one of my favorite Star Wars books. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center. It truly does help support the show. Other housekeeping information and asks, Joseph, what do we got here today?
Yeah, we always like to be clear about the goals we're building towards. And on Patreon, we are building toward a goal of 400 paid subscribers. There's now the unpaid in the paid right now, because that's real new to us. We're not doing a lot with the unpaid. So we're still trying to build towards 400 paid subscribers, at which point we will do a commentary, a new fresh commentary of one of the Star Wars films. And we will ask you, the patrons, to vote on which one. So if you're at all interested in our Patreon, you can check it out at patreon.com/4center. It gets you exclusive access to our coverage of the Daniel Craig James Bond films, 007 Center. We do a monthly podcast that's only for Patreon called Will of the Force, where we just flip open a visual guide and talk about whatever there is. And also Discord, access to our Discord if you're looking for fun and friendly Star Wars fans to have respectful conversations with. That's what our Discord offers.
And final bit of news before we dive into the news. Jen, we are going to have the next episode of Jedi Beat up soon, but it's a big one, and we decided it's best to kind of make sure it was ready to launch, right? So coming up next is the Carrie Fisher episode, yeah?
The life and brilliance of Carrie Fisher, and I underestimated how emotional it would be for me to go back and go through the archives, and I have lots and lots of photos and clips from Carrie herself talking about her life and her experiences, and I'm looking forward to sharing it all with you.
Can't wait. It's been a lot of fun seeing the reaction to all those previous episodes, and it's also been fun removing people who, don't have the right to be in our four-center community with some of their comments. That's been fun, too. It's turned into a hobby of ours.
To be very clear, though, I want to be clear. The YouTube can be a difficult space, and the percentages have been really, really wonderful. Great. It was not what I was concerned that it would still be the kind of environment that we've had where people are hunting out anything positive Star Wars to urinate on. And it has really, we've had such a positive reception, and the volume of just kind of awful comments has been very, very small. And it's been a ton of people just sharing their opinions, which is great.
It's been wonderful and fun. All right. Well, this is how.
I'm sorry.
I had this. I'll let you guys handle it. I was going to skip. We should get to the breaking news and maybe skip over life and Star Wars Adventures, blah, blah, blah. But there's one. Someone posted just six paragraphs of the biggest BS they took. It was no joke, six paragraphs. It had been up a minute, and I blocked him from the channel. I just felt so happy that they put all that work and no one saw it but me.
Oh, my gosh.
Because
I didn't see that one either. Yeah, because we don't really organize. Both Ken and I just go in and check. It's a wonderful way to procrastinate on my other creative work to say.
Yeah.
How many other people have said really nice things about Jennifer's wonderful Marsha Lucas video? Oh, 17. Cool. Great. It's been really nice. So Ken and I take turns. I did not see the one that clearly you took some soul damage from, Ken.
No, I had the thing where you on the phone and you update and you just pull it down and it updates. It popped up. He had just posted it. And I read it. Because we don't just a comment that doesn't agree with our that we're not banning like randomly. It's just like if you're sexist, if you're condescending, if you just you're not part of the vibe. And I looked at it, and went great block. He had not been on a minute. It was wonderful. Anyway,
oh that's great. Yeah, I have no problem people sharing their opinions if they don't agree with me. That's fine. Let's hash it out. But like if you're you can't be saying like sexist.
Yeah, no. And I have been really happy to see the number of people who are like, oh, I had a different take. But the way people are writing it is so respectful. It's a different take, not like, you absolute idiot, fool. Of course it's this. Like, nobody's been doing that. It's been really, really great.
It's been great. Well, this is how we sat down to record. We're going to talk about this news, but we didn't really get to talk the format. Star Wars Life Adventures. Do we have a vote here? Should we just get to the adventure that is breaking news?
I think let's get right into the acolyte. Right into Life Adventures, check out our social media.
That's right. That's where we're at there. Okay. Well, we're going to do this. We have got finally some news, some posters, a trailer coming, a confirmation on the release date of The Acolyte. This is the Leslie Headland-led series that we're all very excited for. Some of you may have seen footage of it at Star Wars Celebration or by other means on the internet that you don't have to confess to right now. It has been some of our favorite footage to talk about or at least say, hey, we got to experience it and we're not going to dive into it. Joseph and I were there for that one in London. It was great. But finally, we have a teaser poster. We have the release date of June 4th, whether that will be at nighttime and it's kind of a June 4th, June 5th release. There was reports that it was June 5th, but hey, all close, all in the same bucket there. And we have, as we said, the trailer, the what's being called the official trailer on StarWars.com. So not necessarily even a tease. That is coming 8 a.m. our time tomorrow morning. We'll do a live stream, like I said up top, later in the day, about 11 a.m. Pacific for us. But let's dive in. Joseph, I want to get your take here on this poster, the release date, an overall thought about how this found you this morning.
Well, this was great because, Ken told me as we were logging on here that there was a poster. So I went and looked at it. And clearly, this is a giant lightsaber being dragged across the surface of Crait. that was my first reaction of like, it does have a little bit of visual similarity to that white and red Crait motif that was used so effectively throughout the Last Jedi marketing, but obviously not. It's good. Here's what I like about it. the poster from General Visual Analysis of this is, as they say, this is a show about, this is still a prime time for the Jedi where they are noble. But there are cracks in the foundation, which that's great that that's literally the image. It is like old school marble, like some Roman Colosseum from, noble antiquity, but all cracked and pitted. And then the this could just be a lightsaber ignited. But I love that it is the red and the streaks and the potential for violence and the threat of violence rather than active beginning of violence. Those are my initial just kind of gut reactions to the poster.
No, I love everything you're saying because it has the words on it. In an age of light, a darkness rises. The cracks in the marble. Everything's starting to come apart, maybe. This is 100 years before the Phantom Menace. Jen, blood, cracks, blades. What do you think?
It is, it evokes a certain emotion immediately. It's kind of shocking, to be honest. I'm looking at it right now. It's violent. It's brutal. We see the blood splatter. The hilt is almost looks slightly tarnished. And just like the imagery that immediately like of dragging a person who's bleeding. I mean, this is this graphic. And I jokingly said to you both, gritty, because it is like, I would not let my 8-year-old watch this, right? Most people are probably not going to let their kids, well, younger kids watch this. I think it's by setting out this poster, they're like, this is not, I don't want to say mature audiences. What is it? TV youth? TV, I can't remember what it
is. TVMA or I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Because I think that this is not Grogu. Right? This is not going to be like The Mandalorian. This is going to be a little bit different. They are making that clear. And it's just like, and even the juxtaposition, Age of Light versus the Darkness. It's just terrifying. I'm scared.
I think we talk often from our perspective of being Gen X and being into gritty, dark things for lots of reasons and coming around to The Phantom Menace and having grown up with Star Wars. But a lot of people in our generation, not all, but a lot, kind of forgetting the fun and the whimsy and wanting it's Star Wars, but with a darker edge. We would have all lost our minds dancing in the street for this poster. If this was the poster for Phantom Menace, we would have all. Yeah. So we just, again, to sort of talk about the way that we have different desires based on the time we live in. But I think there's something really exciting about, like, this looks like what people have loved about Andor in terms of tone applied to the Jedi and the Force.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with all that there. And we all kind of understand that Star Wars, that buffet we've always talked about here, Star Wars and food, this you can have shows that reach a lot of things. We know Skeleton Crew is going to be showing up later in the year, and it's been described by anyone around it as it's like Goonies. And it's so we've got that. We've got this. We've got Andor. We have Bad Batch, which I think scratches a lot of Star Wars itches for me. But I'm with you, Jen. I don't know if I'm scared. I'm intrigued. The dragging of the blood. I'm trying to even now. I haven't even had a chance. I'm like, should we zoom in on the blade on the hilt? Is there a reflection there? What's going on?
I think I see either a potato or Boba Fett's ship. Yep. In the reflection of that blade.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It's Ki-Adi-Mundi. He did it. but also, we should discuss, too, the bit of the synopsis here. I first saw it retweeted or tweeted out by Kelly Knox, but now we have it here from StarWars.com. In The Acolyte, an investigation into a shocking crime spree pits a respected Jedi master, this is Lee Jung-Jae, against a dangerous warrior from his past, Amanda Stenberg. As more clues emerge, they travel down a dark path where sinister forces reveal all is not what it seems. We got ourselves a true crime show here. That's what we got. Jen, reactions to that?
I am really excited. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy Attack of the Clones is because it feels kind of more like a noir Star Wars mystery. This literally is going to be a, I don't want to say a whodunit, but yeah, just again, the imagery is so clear of just like fog. And I wouldn't say wearing a trench coat, but, you know, wearing his long robes, Jedi Master, trying to find clues and trying to find the answer. So this is really exciting. Very different for Star Wars. But like you said, Ken, it's a nice buffet.
Nice buffet. I like this true crime angle. I like what's going on. And I have questions of, you know, will that word Sith be even mentioned? Because maybe at this point you think no. But dark Sith and dark side, you know, you could be dark side and not be Sith. There's a lot of options, Joseph. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we'll get more confirmation with the trailer, but I think there has been kind of suspicion that, or maybe confirmation, I don't remember at this point, about the relationship between this Jedi Master and the dangerous warrior from his past, that it might actually be a former Padawan. And so you have that great family tension. I think this is looking like not just like noir to me, but a very specific kind of Raymond Chandler-esque murder mystery noir that was invoked by Attack of the Clones. Like Jennifer is saying, Obi-Wan's journey in particular, part of what we love about the Dexter's Diner scene that we discussed a lot is that era of murder mystery noir is about the cracks in society. It's about how the powerful and the established get away with things. And the people who are looked at as less than are the ones who see bits and pieces of what's really going on. So the detective goes to people who are lower on the alleged social chain, like diner owners or, you know, a waiter who saw something or, you know, maybe a sleazy photographer or whatever, and begins to piece together from all these lower parts of society that the upper part of society is corrupt, if not more than the lower part of society, allegedly. And I just feel like that could be a lot of what's going on here. Of this is a Jedi Master who deeply believes in the Jedi way and needs to reach out to a fallen Jedi or a Jedi who walked away and get her help to go to these sort of lower parts of society. And the more they work on it, the more they see there are cracks in the marble. There are cracks in the higher echelons of society. There are cracks in the Senate. There are cracks in the Jedi, and kind of the early denial of them and of what it means. I think this entire show will end with somebody saying, "Forget it, Ki-Adi-Mundi. It's Coruscant."
I want one character to be like, I ain't seen nothing.
Right? I mean, that's, Chinatown is a great film, in my opinion, and it is absolutely riffing on Chandler and Dashiell Hammett. But that is also, I think, the kind of the model that a lot of people are familiar with this kind of storytelling of what are the rich and powerful doing and how is it really affecting everybody? And the rich and powerful get away with it.
This is a wonderful vehicle to dive into what the show has already kind of been promised as doing, which is looking a little closer to the Jedi Order, which I don't know about you, Joseph and Jennifer, but it does start to get my hackles up. I totally trust Leslie Headland and the team of what they're doing. I can't wait to explore, but I get my hackles up of like, hey, don't come too hard for the Jedi here. So maybe I'm the one who's like, I ain't seen nothing. And someone has to come to me and be like, look, there's cracks right here. There's cracks right here.
Yeah, I worry. I worry that somebody in the Jedi Order might be guilty of something. And how is that going to challenge my beliefs about the Jedi? And, you know, I don't mind if they're messing with the politicians, but you know, the people that are supposed to be on the good side, fighting for what is right, on the light side. And if there is corruption in that, that is absolutely going to challenge kind of where Star Wars has taken us before. Mm-hmm. A little bit. I think I feel like it's just going to push it a little bit further.
I think it's going to be fun, spirited discourse wherever you get your discourse these days on the Jedi. And I'm saying this with excitement. I'm excited to have this all analyzed. I really am. And can't wait for the trailer tomorrow. Joseph, how are your hackles? Are they up?
No, my hackles and I have been having conversations about exactly this because I have said a bunch on Force Center and we've all discussed that I really do believe that the perspective of Lucas was the Jedi are heroes. Now that everybody knows they're obviously heroes, we can criticize them a little bit and point out where heroes can go wrong. Right. I feel like he went into the prequels with such an assumption, like everybody gets there, the heroes, right? Well, now I want to show you even heroes can go wrong. And I feel like, in my opinion, even though I love the prequels, with both the Jedi and Anakin, I would have taken a little more time with them glowing and heroic before, you know. Yeah. So that's always where I come from Justice for the Jedi. I think they absolutely can make mistakes. I'm fascinated with this, and this is where my hackles are lowering. Okay. Is that this still is the tail end of the High Republic, which means it is still a time where the Jedi are heroes and many people have seen them as heroes. And so I think we could get a presentation of them of they have had years of balancing this difficult path and being heroes. And now they're cracks. Not the whole thing is corrupt, but maybe one or two Jedi Council members are getting out of line.
Right.
And the question is, will the rest of the council accept it? Or are they willing to change that kind of thing? And I feel like that leaves plenty of room for still presenting some of the Jedi characters as well-meaning, in nuanced, you know?
Yeah, I'm really with you. I think that's going to, and again, going to the noir example, and I'm not, at no point has someone said this is just a noir Star Wars story. There's going to be a lot of genres in here. We know some, maybe some martial arts. We got the influence of Matrix, a lot of wonderful things. But I think, I'm looking forward to, I will say, hackles up or down. I'm looking forward to analyzing, hey, this is an organization that's pretty darn good, but hey, you keep saying the cracks because the cracks are in the poster. What do you do with that? What do you do when you're faced that with that and how that leads into the Phantom Menace? I'm excited.
Yeah, and I don't need a whole I don't need the show to be focused on here are the exact answers of like, and at the end of the show, the Trade Federation gets a place in the Senate. But I feel like by the time we're caught up with the Jedi in Phantom Menace and the Senate, it's already been kind of corroded and everybody's just kind of keeping the status quo going. And I think Leslie Headland has talked about how did they get there? So it'd be interesting to see if there was like some shift of like, again, I don't just like need like the answer, but like if whatever conflict here ends up with the Senate didn't used to have corporations have a seat, but by the end of this adventure, right, they do. And the Jedi are okay with that when they maybe shouldn't be, kind of thing. So you can kind of see some of that, what the kind of sad status quo that's there in the Phantom Menace get established.
See, now you're just getting me excited for, you know, the first moments of the Trade Federation getting representation. No one else but me. Okay.
Jed, no, please.
Final thoughts, Jed, from you as we head towards a trailer tomorrow.
I'm excited that this is fresh material. It's not like Kenobi or Ahsoka, which I both enjoyed. These are going to be new characters. Maybe there might be some thing characters or things from the High Republic books. I don't know. But I'm just excited to go in just completely blank. And it's thrilling as a Star Wars fan, because it's not often that I get that experience where I don't feel like I know anything. I haven't seen what you guys saw at Celebration. I know nothing, and I'm excited about that.
I'm right there with you. Excited for the unknown. Even having seen some of the footage, I couldn't really tell you what's going on in terms of the world and the era and everything. I think they've done a great job of keeping that back, and tomorrow the blitz starts, and I'm excited for this bit of Star Wars news. Joseph, final thoughts for you, sir.
Yeah, I think one High Republic character is confirmed, that they had real fun announcing that in London. Mm-hmm. So there will be, I think, a little bit of, crossover with the world of the books. Not literal crossover, but, you know, a character from it. So I think there's excitement. I always think that Star Wars is at its best when it's got this real mix of the old and the new. And from what I remember, from what they showed us at Star Wars Celebration, the action felt really fresh and new, but it was wall-to-wall Jedi lightsabers force philosophy. So I think taking all of these really central ideas of the mystical side of Star Wars and giving it a fresh perspective is that perfect mix of old and new for me. And I can't wait for that trailer to come out and for everybody to see some of what we were lucky to see.
Mm. Yeah. Very fortunate to see. Well, like I said, tomorrow, Tuesday, the 19th, live stream for us at 11 a.m. Pacific. Joseph and I will be on. Jennifer, unfortunately, you got something going on, so we'll have you maybe leave some sort of parchment with your words on it. We'll read it on there. There you go.
I'll send my carrier pigeon.
We're going to dive into more of the news that we have not had a chance to get into the last couple weeks. And this headline reads, Rogue Squadron still in development, according to source. And the source is Patty Jenkins. This was kind of news that broke last week while we were hanging out with Alex and Molly on their Clone Zone live stream. So here's a chance for us to dive into it. Patty was on the Talking Pictures podcast. Ben Mankiewicz on that one there as the host. She said that Rogue Squadron is still in development. I'm going to read this whole quote here. When I left Star Wars to do Wonder Woman 3 and I started working on that, we talked about, well, maybe I'll come back to Star Wars after Wonder Woman 3. So we did a deal for that to happen. Started a deal. But when Wonder Woman 3 then went away, Lucasfilm and I were like, oh, we got to finish this deal. We finished the deal right as the strike was beginning. So now I owe a draft of Star Wars. We'll see what happens there. They had a hard job in front of them of what's the first movie they're going to do. They have other directors who've been working, but I am now back doing Rogue Squadron. I need to develop, you know, get it where we're both super happy with it. Conversational quote right there. No confirmation from Lucasfilm Disney on this latest update, but we will add before we dive in. After saying the project, quote, just didn't happen at Star Wars Celebration Europe 2023, Kathleen Kennedy had said in May that Rogue Squadron is still, quote, on the books. So what do we make of Patty's comments, starting with that? And what does on the books mean and drafts do? Joseph, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think that I'm very excited for a Rogue Squadron movie. I would love a Rogue Squadron movie or television show. And so I don't want to dampen any of the excitement for that. But to be honest, this seems like just a very smart and honest move on Patty Jenkins' part to put this out there. Gets fans excited. Get buzz going. This is, you know, this isn't a drive-by slip on a panel or a red carpet. This is a sit down interview with a respected entertainment journalist, as far as I know. And it seems like very much a conscious choice to put this out there, get fans excited. And hey, if you're excited, great. That's how this system works these days. We talked a while back about development deals, because it's so easy to just pull out just the sentence, I'm now back doing Rogue Squadron. And everybody's got busy lives. Somebody just posts that on Facebook, and pretty soon half the internet just thinks Rogue Squadron is announced, confirmed. When's it coming out? To me, a movie being filmed, you know, in production, given a release date, is like a marriage. And all these development deals are like, we matched on Tinder. We're going to go. I feel like her announcement is, we're going to go on a second date. Rumors and reporting are true. We handed in a script that we weren't aligned on. Patty Jenkins and Lucasfilm, we weren't aligned on. Then I was maybe going to go do Wonder Woman, and that didn't work out. So now I'm going to give them a second draft script. And if both Patty Jenkins and Lucasfilm agree on the script, as she says, then there will be the possibility of this film being made. That's the way I read this.
I'm with you on it. You know, I once quit my radio job, and then 3 days later asked if that they still wanted me. So, you know, and they did for 6 more months. And Jen, I want to pitch it to you here, but I'm someone who was when this was announced on Investors Day, and that footage came out of her telling her very personal story about her father and her connection to flying and fighter jets and those kind of stories, and then skated off to the X-Wing. I was emotional. She sold me on that. Mm-hmm. This is anything about her. I like the first Wonder Woman. I like parts of Wonder Woman 84. That's about it for me, right? Like, I have no, at this point in my life, no strong opinion either way. But when this news broke and I read the story, I just kind of went, all right. And Jen, I know you kind of were with me, and Joseph too, but with me when the emotions of that Investor Day announcement, where are you at?
It was huge.
It was big.
So I'm excited. I had faith all along that this was going to happen. I'm the person that looked on Facebook and was like, yay, it's happening. It's a go. Green light picture. And I don't think that they just matched on Tinder. I think that they really have a true love between Lucasfilm and Patty Jenkins. I don't think that they're like, you know, they haven't stopped seeing other people yet. But I think, yeah, there's a real strong connection. I think that they want to work with her. They put think about all the money and time and energy that they put into what we saw with that. What was it for the Investor Day? The video, the kind of teaser thing, right? Mm-hmm. That put a lot of thought. That shows commitment. And so for me, I think that they believe in it. They're not quite there yet. They need to hash it out. I'm sure that she probably has a great relationship with Kathleen Kennedy. I'm totally speculating here. Two women in the industry, right? Two powerful women. And I think that they want to make it work. Plus, as we were just talking about, there's a whole bunch of fans that are like, where's our Rebel pilot stories in the feature film space? Remember, we just were talking about that a few weeks ago. And I was like, here it is. Here it is. So I'm optimistic for once in my life.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, Jennifer. But what I hear you saying is they are going on a second date and you're really rooting for them. Like,
I think that it's been love at first sight. I think that they're going to get together. They're going to get together. Okay. They're going to get married but they're going to have babies.
Do you take this as, but it's hope, right? You don't take this statement as confirmation that Rogue Squadron is coming out in 2027, right?
Oh, no. But I think that they are wanting to make it happen. I think she wants to make it happen, and she's got time, and she's going to pitch for it. And I think, like I said, the audience is there for this type of story. The next question, which we'll discuss, feature film or series. Mm-hmm. And that's where they may lose her. I don't know. I have thoughts on that.
Yeah. I think there's also an element for me where I think the 2017 Wonder Woman is not just one of my favorite superhero films. It's one of my favorite films. I think it is an amazing, phenomenal film. I think Wonder Woman 84, like Ken, I had parts of it I really loved and parts of it that felt a little wonky. And there are a lot of discussions around it that I thought were really valuable and important. And people can go Google those. I think that Patty Jenkins got an incredible amount of creative freedom on Wonder Woman 84. And I think there's a part of me that feels like this is a message to Lucasfilm as well, to say in an interview, I know Lucasfilm is a collaboration, that we need to be on the same page about the script. feels like not a casual off the cuff comment, but a real clear communication of it has not really worked for anyone to come into Lucasfilm and go, I want to be an auteur. That's just not the way that Lucasfilm works, good, bad, or otherwise. It's a collaborative space. You can be extremely creative, but Dave Filoni is, you know, still going to tell you which scenes of The Empire Strikes Back it reminds him of and give you some notes. You know, that's just, you know, it's a collaborative environment. And I think it is meaningful to me, to your point, Jennifer, that Patty Jenkins really does want to make it happen, that there is a signaling of like, we really got to be on the same page.
Yeah, that even speaks to some of the around town rumors that you can put absolutely 1% of faith into, of just like, hey, some script issues or, you know, felt that, like you said, the auteur angle of this. And I like these comments. There's a lot of hopeful, positive energy in these comments. Also, I love we stumbled onto this, you know, directors in terms of relationships with Star Wars. They're on a second date. Tyke is in an open relationship. Dave Filoni is only... only been with Star Wars. It's his only marriage. JJ's the stepfather. Dave's a high school sweetheart. JJ's the stepfather, and Ryan's the one that got away. Like this is
oh my gosh.
It's all there.
I love it.
We could dive into it. But I do want to talk about, will this happen? Do we want this to happen now? I don't think this is going to be the first movie out of the gates, because even Patty acknowledges a lot of things going on right now. So not even worried about timetable. But there was one quote, and you're right, Joseph, I think you made reference to it. She did say series. The series was in the conversation. Not that she said they're going to do this as a series or anything, but I thought I read that. I was trying to put it together this morning. So we'll go over that. Jen, you were excited to get to it. What do you want? Where do you want it? When?
I do not want a series. I don't want a series. I really want the budget of a feature film, I think is what she does. I want Top Gun Maverick, but make it Star Wars. I want it to be an event for all of us to go. I just feel like it can really, I don't know, with a series, I just see like they'll just have more production constraints. Right. And I think that budget wise, it just comes down to money. And I think for something like Rogue Squadron, it deserves to be in the movies. It just feels like an epic event. And so if we have to wait, we have to wait. That's fine. We'll wait.
Yeah, I agree. I think even if they said we're going to give you the same budget as a feature film and break it up into a limited series, 6-episode event, even if the budget was there, there's a part of me that just wants to say, like, I want the seat to rumble and feel it in my sternum when the X-Wing zips over the screen. I want that big experience, and I feel like Star Wars is in a time and space where it needs that sense of you have to see it in the big screen, the X-Wing exploding, you know, from the constraints of your 64-inch flat screen television. That's not even big enough.
Yep. Right. IMAX.
Three stories tall or nothing.
We just gotta kill it.
That's the vibe of Top Gun, of the fighter pilot element of this that people are so excited about.
Yeah,
I agree with you both. Yeah, the X-Wing zips across, you run, then the Y-Wing slowly rumbles across, and your beverage is slowly shaken.
It feels it in my hip. I feel that one in my hip.
And there's a lot out there, obviously, on the business side that we're not even diving in fully. There were some numbers out there. Some of them may have been right or somewhat inaccurate, though, about what the movies have made for Disney. And this is the Star Wars thing since the sale. I saw some of that story, and it was going a different direction, so I didn't want to include it today. But the business is part of this, and we know Uncle Bob, who's lost a lot of grace with a lot of fans for a lot of reasons, maybe speaking words to investors, right, more than anything else. There's also some stuff going on in Disney with a hostile group and all this kind of stuff. So there's some TV movie of the week studio politics going on. So I don't know if Uncle Bob says – less on series and more in movies. And I don't know how true that is overall, or how much that is just speaking to people who have a call-in code to the investor meeting. But I just don't think series feels in the cards for a lot of things going forward for me. That's where I'm at.
That's true. And the great thing about this movie is I just was thinking about it, Arclight, RIP, going with my dad to go see this. Like, this is like a generational kind of film that could appeal to the, what is the four quadrants or whatever they call, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it could just appeal to a broad base of fans or non-fans. And mm-hmm. I just think that that is, that's gold for Lucasfilm right now. And mm-hmm. they really do need that. And to bring in maybe new fans who don't know much about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but you yeah. say right now, and it still could be 5 to 6 to 10 years out at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing for me is, like, I don't think they're going to move off of Mando and Grogu as the next film, right? No. They've announced it. It's going to start filming. I think right mm-hmm. now the next Star Wars film has that's on a calendar is 2026. But if they're filming now and if they're using a lot of the techniques that they've got, I mean, they haven't started filming, but I think rumors is that they're going to start filming soon, which would mean maybe Mando and Grogu in 2025. I don't think a film that doesn't have an agreed upon script yet, like Rogue Squadron, mm-hmm. is going to bump the announcement of New Jedi Order.
No.
Because I think I think that it really felt like taking the reins for the Star Wars Celebration announcement and going, these are the next films we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll sneak in a Mando and Grogu. You know. So for me, I would absolutely love a Rogue Squadron movie, but I think 2027 would be the absolute earliest. And then you even get into that much bigger discussion we're having right now of how many franchise movies can come out, how close to one another. I think the Marvel magic might be broken, I don't think from the quality of the films, but people got themselves to that point of, like, we're so invested in the Marvel story, we'll go to see 2 to 3 films a year and still treat them as events. And I think that magic might have been broken.
Mm-hmm.
What's working mm-hmm. in the theater is event movies, is Barbie, Oppenheimer, Dune. You got to see it on the big screen. Mm-hmm. And by definition, things can't remain events if they come out too frequently. And I think that's mm-hmm. the hard thing for me with all this movie news of, like, yeah, I'm excited for that movie. Yeah, I'm excited. But we might need some time.
That's kind of where I think my lack of excitement came. Of just like, all right, they got to, you know, not it's not just Star Wars. The industry is right now like that famous image of the bridge, the coma about to collapse. It's just like moving around, and we don't know what's going to happen next. And Marvel and Star Wars and IP and streaming and, you know, more streamers are being bought by other streamers. And it is. I think I just look at some of the stuff and think, wake me when it's there. And I don't, which is when you cover Star Wars, that's not the right attitude. But I think with this one, that was kind of, I'm excited for it. I didn't read those books growing up and everything like others did. So I'm excited for this, but not in a, you know, specifically passionate way, like say an Alex Damon, who's been wanting this story, which I respect that. So I'm willing to wait. Also, if we're starting to see a contraction of series on Disney Plus, then the idea of 2 movies a year seems a little bit more workable for me down the line. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of not just with Star Wars and Marvel. It's a longer conversation, like I know you were hinting at, Joseph, of just like mm-hmm. the magic's not gone for any one reason, right? And it's not even all gone, by the way. It's just it's different because we're 15 years in or so into Marvel. We're 10 years into this new era of Star Wars. It's going to change, like a relationship, going back to marriages. Someone once said to me, 10 years into your marriage, you have to look at someone and fall in love with them again for the first time all over, right? Like it's, mm-hmm. we're at that point. And if there's going to be less shows, but maybe 2 in a theater, I think maybe that could work, but not right now. I don't see it happening now.
Yeah. And I mean, and if they're different, they appeal to different people.
Yeah, I don't want to say it, but I do feel like the series watered down some of the demand because you were getting so many Marvel series and so much Star Wars stuff, which was great at first, right, with The Mandalorian. But then it's like, well, then it takes away from the event of the movie theater, right, mm-hmm. of seeing Star Wars where you could only see it on the big screen, right? It's not like, I mean, the Barbie animated series on Netflix is very different than the live action Barbie. It's just not the same. But yeah, I do think if they decrease the volume of shows on Disney Plus, it would help.
And I think there's also just like the financial reality of theaters being extremely expensive. And I know I ran into that. It was just like, I would like to see that, but I just really can't justify the time or the money. So we'll see how that all plays out as well. I just think it's interesting to talk about because I think when Marvel was on fire, and it was sort of like, this is breaking all norms that they can do three blockbusters a year. Mm-hmm. That there was such a hunger in the Star Wars community to be like, can we ramp up? Can we get to Marvel? And now Marvel can't get to Marvel. So mm-hmm. the thought of, I don't think that's as clear of a goal to shoot for anymore of mm-hmm. doing two Star Wars movies a year, because that model might just not work anymore.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of you there. It's fascinating stuff. I'm still in the it's a great time to be a Star Wars fan mindset, but I'm someone mm-hmm. who was like, I don't know, give me a new show every month. I don't care. And I slowed down a bit. Slowed down a bit for a lot of reasons, not just related to Star Wars. And that's the other thing, too, the last couple of years, as we all know, but pandemics and lockdowns and strikes and everything, that there's a lot of outside factors. But I like what you're saying, Joseph, about maybe no one should overlook the fact that what Marvel did was absolutely breathtaking levels of success that mm-hmm. we had not seen before. We might not see again. And that happens mm-hmm. sometimes. That happens
and it
sometimes.
Worked for a reason. It was yeah. adapting serialized stories that were dependent on relationships. And as soon as they shifted away from those fundamental relationships, they had mm-hmm. a hard time building back that same level of love and excitement, because everybody's going back to see what happened to the kind of the core group. And once yeah. that bursts a little bit, I think it's been harder to get that same momentum.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Final thoughts on this, Jen, before we move on to, talk about other shows and series.
Yeah. I will wait and see. Like you said, when we started looking at the list of all the other movies in development at Star Wars, I was like, oh, there's a lot there. So, Lucasfilm has a lot of suitors, so to speak. Before they pick the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited by your faith and your excitement, Jennifer, your shipping of Patty Jenkins and Lucasfilm. I would love a Rogue Squadron film. I would love it if Patty Jenkins made it. If it doesn't work out for her, if she says, hey, I don't want to do this after all. If they love each other, but they find out they can't live together, it's yep. tragic. It happens. That I hope a Rogue Squadron film still comes along eventually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea. Absolutely makes sense. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll keep you updated on whatever podcast Patty shows up on. Now we're going to dive into this story. And this is Andor and Kenobi get physical media. That's right. Physical media. Oh, everyone loves their physical media. I am in the process of getting rid of a lot of physical media, but I do like it. And I do want to buy the things they want.
Sorry, I'm just laughing because I didn't. You really wound into that, so I was really happy for the word media, because it's like Andor and Obi-Wan get physical media.
Media, everybody, let's get physical. Coming your way, April 30th will be physical media releases of Andor and Obi-Wan Kenobi. This will be in Blu-ray and 4K ultimate high def formats. When I originally did the story, I just instinctively put DVD, and then I was like, oh, man, yeah, no, I'm a boomer. No. That's not real.
That's my gosh. Anymore. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, there is a VHS store not too far from my house that I'm excited to see VHS mm-hmm. making a comeback for that community. But, I had a little bit of a we're not there anymore. But anyways, Blu-ray and 4K releases. Each set will be in premium steelbook packaging and come complete with concept art collector cards. Here's some of the footage. Kenobi bonus featurettes include Duels of the Fate, Obi-Wan versus Vader. This is Deborah Chow, Ewan McGregor, and Hayden Christensen examining the lightsaber battles of Obi-Wan and Darth Vader. The Dark Times. Villains uncover the lore of the deadly Inquisitors in Darth Vader's iconic look. Designing the galaxy, say hello to Leia's lovable sidekick, Lola, and explore the new planets of Star Wars Galaxy. Director commentary as well. Ooh, we do love director commentary. Andor's bonus features include Ferrix Part 1, Imperial Occupation. They actually got Tony Gilroy to sit down for this. Kathleen Kennedy and Diego Luna discuss the series' origins. Aldani, Rebel Heist, joined the shoot in Scotland, and character spotlights, Rebel training stunts. Love that. Coruscant, Whispers of Rebellion, explore the stories of ISB agent Dedra Miro, Senator Mon Mothma, and spy Master Luthen Rail. Narkina 5, One Way Out, uncover the Empire's penal system and the prison Starkler. These are documentaries that are very real world here. Ferrix Part 2, Fight the Empire. Continuation of the behind the scenes there. So we're going to parse this out into different discussions because I'm intentionally being vague with the titles here. How are we feeling about these releases and bonus, the bonus features? Any jump out to you, Jen?
100%. The Andor bonus featurettes are exciting to me. It's basically what I'm assuming what a Disney Gallery episode would have been on about. Mm-hmm. And also because we haven't gotten a lot of the behind the scenes as much. I feel like, what did they do that tribute to Kenobi, right?
Well,
it wasn't a Disney Gallery, but it kind of
different,
it kind of felt a little bit behind the scenes. So I'm not, I don't want to say I'm not looking forward to it, but I kind of feel like I've already kind of seen some of that. So, but Andor, this feels very new.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Andor stuff. I make jokes about Tony Gilroy all the time, but I mean, I'm fascinated to hear how he put this all together with his team and everything behind it. And just, you know, we didn't get a lot of this. And there was a lot of like, hey, where's the Disney Gallery, the making of Andor? Like all that kind of stuff is here. Be exciting to see. And with that series being so, you know, I had the practical versus volume, all that stuff, that discussion's almost getting tiresome for me. But just to actually go to the set and see it and see those bricks and screws that everyone has opinions on. I'm excited to explore that. And yeah, the Kenobi stuff, Joseph, I want to kick it to you definitely in the Kenobi stuff. But yeah, we did get some, but I'm really looking forward to the director's commentary with Deborah Chow sitting down for the action-packed finale and getting some thoughts from her.
Yeah, this is the day these were announced. That was a big, happy Star Wars day for me, because when they had put out The Mandalorian and some of the Marvel's shows on disc, I think there was a, like, if they sell well enough, they'll make more. So for me, one, it's just the Mandalorian discs must have sold well enough. Which then makes me more excited about future Star Wars shows and series, because the metric of how do you determine an individual show's success, like what demands a second season based on success, was really undefined with streaming. Was it subscribers? Was it subscriber retention? Was it driving other merch sales? Like, obviously, Grogu's a hit because you can sell anything with Grogu's little face on it financially. So it's just, I'm happy that these exist, because I think they're a little bit of the older world metrics where, like, okay, well, maybe if a show has more hope, if it blows up on disc, if it can do such a thing. Yeah. So I'm just happy that they exist. Really wanted this Obi-Wan one in my hands. For the special features on Obi-Wan, I'm most excited about them, because I think the Duels of the Fate, examining the lightsaber battles specifically, I've always been a nerd for the lightsaber battles. I think they're great and well constructed. So I'm really hoping to hear a little bit of the philosophy from the choreography of them and Hayden and Ewan. It's such a huge part of their experience. I think, you know, they come across as such buddies and friends. And I think a lot of it was, yeah, we trained together. We went to the gym together every day for weeks. So that's such a part of their life and their experience. So I'm really excited for that specific topic. And then also, it sounds like Deborah Chow is doing commentary for just the finale. I think there's so many people kind of had a hand in the development of Obi-Wan. And by the time it was actually reaching us, Deborah Chow was like the leader, the creative voice. So hearing how she feels and experiences that finale, not just with Obi-Wan, but with all the Reva stuff, I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, it's a great finale. It's going to be fun and very old school vibes. Mid-2000s, director commentary fun. I love all that stuff. And that's, to your point of the business side of it too, with the shows live on. I don't have a specific example. I remember Family Guy went away and it came, but I know, you know, there's a lot of factors that brought it back, but the fandom kept it going in a lot of ways. And that does happen. And it's, and I think it's more likely to happen now. If sales go up, ooh, what do we got? It's just a simple business side of it there. Disruption is destruction is a theme that comes up a lot, and streaming has been great, and I like it, and I have no problem just bringing up a movie or show I love. But, you know, it definitely started to destroy a lot of parts of the business just for the sake of destroying it. And I'm not advocating, everyone go out and buy 7,000, you know, plastic Blu-ray discs, sets and everything, but there's a fandom out there for this, and I think they're going to find that this – will do well. I'm excited for that. Excited for the future of that.
Yeah.
I could see them actually doing like the Disney vault, like they used to do. Mm-hmm. Remember those? How they would just lock away, get your VHS copy of Sleeping Beauty now. Otherwise, she's going in the vault.
That's right.
And I mean, it could be a way for them to make more money, you know? So Andor's going to be pulled in 10 years. Get it now on Blu-ray. So
yeah, no. For the Andor features, that first one sounds really good to me. The the series, it said Tony Gilroy, Kathleen Kennedy, and Diego Luna discussed the series origins. Yeah. I'm really excited about that one because that's the kind of behind the scenes we haven't got as much of, which is a little bit more like Jennifer, what you've been doing in your wonderful documentaries is kind of getting into the heart of things of how they happened and why they happened and that kind of stuff that I think they've been a little reticent to talk about. So they end up, like, I'm a little concerned about some of these other Andor bonus features. They might be great, but they also might be like, yeah, I saw the Narkeena episodes. I really enjoyed them. I've discussed them. I've heard other people's wonderful thoughts. And if it is just like, this is, we built the set. It's a prison. This is the theme. Like, I'm a little concerned that it's, I want to get into the human side of the making of, how did this get decision made? Why did we do it now? How do we feel about it? Rather than just sort of like, I'm concerned that I'm concerned that they'll just be like, here are the three characters who are involved in rebellion, and we'll show a clip and we'll talk about Mon Mothma a little bit, and there won't be human insight. It'll just be sort of like almost Lucasfilm produced after show. You know,
press release or so. Yeah, it's like when we, when people review shows and they're like, "All right, here's the beat by beats of the episode you just watched." Like, we just watched it. Here's Mon Mothma. She was a senator. I get your vibe on that, Joseph. And that's why I'm fascinated to have Gilroy, who brought so much to this and had such a clear vision, along with his team and his writers and everyone. I'm hoping that shines through on these.
Yeah, me too.
I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful that they're going to have a lot of behind the scenes B-roll of them in conference rooms. That was the beauty of all the making of Star Wars back in the day with George Lucas, is that he did allow that access of the people meeting and just living the experience, not having to narrate it, you know? And if they want to go and get some, interviews after the fact, I have no problem with that. I want to see people building, having conversations. That costume design, it doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. That's what we, us fans really want. Not this like polished, like you're saying, press thing where it's,
Yeah, so it becomes a press kit, yeah.
I'm very optimistic for what you're describing. You're describing exactly what I want, Jennifer.
That's what I want.
It's why I love the director in the Jedi doc of Last Jedi. And I like the one that came out with Rise of Skywalker a lot as well. Mm-hmm. I thought they got a lot of access. But when Mark Hamill says he's on camera saying, hey, that stuff's part of the Star Wars story we all love, the making.
Yeah, exactly. And that shot where Ryan tells him the film's going to be called The Last Jedi, it's you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's more. There is more. The actual release titles are Andor, The Complete First Season, and Obi-Wan Kenobi, The Complete Series. So, Joseph, is this the announcement that it's a wrap on Kenobi and the idea of a second season and the hope of a second season? We'll start with you on thoughts on that.
This is a brilliant marketing fake out. I lied to myself. No.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I just... I had a deep and sad sigh as I begin my journey toward acceptance. I would very much like a second season. I think there is the potential to tell a story. I think Ewan McGregor is the right age. I think he's excited. I think that the first season of Obi-Wan Kenobi was sort of made in a very weird window for Disney and for the industry. I continue to feel, without evidence, totally just a random opinion, that with different leadership, there would have been a realization of it doesn't matter that it's expensive. We have to make Kenobi and Vader and Leia look the greatest possible and give them the biggest budget possible and all that. So there's a part of me that kind of wants, to see Kenobi done fully. But I also understand Ewan is expensive. I think there is a concern about too many legacy characters. We're all going to get real excited about the Acolyte tomorrow, I think, because of exactly what you said, Jennifer. It's fresh and it's a different perspective. And as much as I would love a second season, I accept it is most likely not in the cards. Never say never, but I understand.
Some lessons of letting go, and I'm struggling to learn because I do think there's more story to tell. I just love the series so much, and love what we saw. But hey, maybe there's hope moving forward. We'll see. There's always hope in Star Wars. Jen, any thoughts on this maybe being the wrap on Kenobi?
It's a wrap. And I think that they always kind of envisioned it would be one season, unless it was a massive hit, right? Then I think, absolutely. I think Ewan McGregor was like, I'll do a second season, I'll get paid, right? I think it is tragic in the sense of this was supposed to be the final send-off for this character. Yes, people were tired of legacy characters, but this character people had been asking Ewan McGregor for years, when are you coming back? Mm-hmm. This was a legacy character to put on the big screen. It would have matched everything that was in the show, that budget, that cinematic moment of Vader versus Obi-Wan. That's a big screen moment, and it's sad that it kind of felt anticlimactic that after years of asking Ewan McGregor, it's a series. And it was a great series, but it would have been an incredible film. And that's it. I don't think he is going to, I mean, unless he makes some appearance, it's really sad.
And I think there's a possibility of Reva continuing on in a Reva series with no Kenobi is a whole other ball of wax. Or I know some people want a Vader's series. I would love an Obi-Wan series, but I think it is understandable. The other thing for me is it is, we've talked about this before, but it is fascinating the way different shows have a different lead figure. This generally, movie is regarded as the director is the lead figure, the lead voice. In television, it's usually the showrunner with a bunch of different directors coming through. And in general, Star Wars has followed that model where, you know, Jon Favreau is the showrunner of The Mandalorian. He might direct a few. Same thing with Dave Filoni, Tony Gilroy. He's the showrunner. It's all this television model. I think because of the weird process where Obi-Wan was a movie and then it wasn't, and then this writing team came in and that writing team came in, that mantle of the true leader fell to the director, Deborah Chow. And I think a part of whether or not we get more storytelling is also who is the creative voice who says, I have a vision. I think we'll get to see on the Blu-ray, but I think Tony Gilroy going, I want to do this and I have a lot of power in the industry. Jon Favreau saying, right. I want to do this and I have a lot of power in the industry. Right. I don't know if she's ever spoken about it. I don't know if it's in interviews. I don't know if Deborah Chow is like, I want a second season. I can fight for it. I have the clout for it. Because then it's a little bit more about a relationship as opposed to Lucasfilm going, yeah, Ewan wants to do one, so we'll find a creative voice to come up with the story it is. That whole dynamic is really significant to me as well.
I agree, yeah. And the writing changes and all that stuff. You could doc on just all that, the making of Kenobi. Well, there you go. We'll keep you updated if any of that changes. And when Joseph gets these steel books and displays them, we'll do a Force Center bonus featurette opening the Kenobi series stuff there. Hey, stick around. We've got more on the way. We are going to catch up with some Star Wars news around Ventress and say goodbye to a beloved, shall we say, Imperial officer. We'll see you on the other side of this break here.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to Star Wars News. We were catching up with some news, and Joseph, you said a couple times up top, people saying things at panels. And that is our next story, and I'm fascinated by that. It is interesting to see. And we got maybe more coming with Ventress. This comes before we've even seen the return of Asajj Ventress in the Bad Batch. That could be happening very, very soon, but apparently more is on the way with the character. Ventress voice actor Nika Futterman was at Planet Comic-Con KC recently and told the live audience there that the Bad Batch appearance was just a appetizer for what's to come. This was immediately shared on social media by pretty much everyone in attendance, and I'm sure Nika Futterman is now in trouble by the Lucasfilm PR team. This could mean Tales of the Jedi like shorts, a new show, or, you know, who knows? So what do we really think this means, Jen?
It's definitely Tales of the Jedi. It has to be. It just makes sense. It doesn't mess with any timelines or anything like that. They can do some of the events from Dark Disciple. It just works from a business perspective. Would I love a whole new show? Absolutely. But no, it's Tales. It's Tales of the Jedi.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. We love this character. Can't wait to see what's going on. Can't wait to get some of the answers of what this character's doing here, even. We got that. It might be one of those things, if it's animated and it's Ventress, the series, Ventress and Voss, the series, you'd have a core group of excited fans. I would be one of them. I don't know how that looks across the wide general Star Wars audience. I don't know. Maybe it could be wrong, Joseph.
Yeah, I think I could be wrong. I don't think she said this on a panel. I think she said this individually as she was signing autographs. Because that's kind of curious, because I was always like, okay, well, we always want to be cautious. So I read this Screen Rant article.
Yeah.
And the tweet that they shared was from a Star Wars blogger named Drunk Wookie.
God bless him.
And his tweet, which I'm sure was his experience, was that he got an autograph from Nika Futterman and said, I'm so excited for Ventress in Bad Batch. And she said, oh, there's more to come. And then a bunch of people replied to his tweet saying, hey, I also got a signature from her, and she told me the same thing. So I take that all at surface value, but is that's what the actor said. She might have already recorded dialogue for Tales of the Jedi, or maybe there's a bigger thing. But I think it was like her saying this sort of like wink, wink, nod, nod to people buying autographs.
Yeah.
And they all came together and went like, we all heard this. We all got some Star Wars news in her autograph line.
Yeah. No, you are right. Yeah. I clicked on the article that led to this one and didn't read this article because I just didn't read it. And you're absolutely right. It was in the autograph line. That makes more sense because she still might be in trouble, quite frankly. But that makes more sense than a panel, which are so overseen by Lucasfilm. But that's interesting. It's just, that speaks of excitement from a wonderful, talented voice actor, excited to be back doing a character that everyone loves. And I don't know why she would do that. I just don't know why she would do
that. Well, I mean, if it felt more like I'm just, it isn't like, Asajj and Quinlan coming.
Yes.
2025. Yes. It is just like, hey, there's more. I can't tell you, but other exciting things, yeah. Probably in the context of a one-on-one conversation. Well, like, yeah, no deal.
A little wink, wink secret. Blasted the internet. Yeah.
I mean, to know who she is, to know, like, you have to be a hardcore fan, right? A hardcore fan of the character. And I think that she had this probably genuine connection and, like, you came to me and did this, and I'm going to have that connection with you. And, just the way that the world works, it gets reported everywhere, right? I mean, even this small little moment of just, like, hey, you like the work that I do. Get ready. Mm-hmm. There's going to be more. Like, it's such a sweet moment, and it's like, we'll take anything.
And to be clear, this blogger, Drunk Wookie, would just seem to have an excited tweet about a fun interaction. So,
Of course. Of course. I would do the same thing. Oh my gosh.
I would do the same thing as well. If you get that, not even in terms of like scoop, but just excitement. Tales of the Jedi, like shorts, works. We're still waiting for confirmation of when that second volume of the Tales series arrives. I know rumors are out there, but no confirmations officially. But that makes some sort of sense. Joseph, you're with Adventures in Voss series would be great, but I don't know. It's not what I'm expecting.
After Bad Batch, you know, I was not expecting Bad Batch to be the thing out of the gate for Clone Wars.
Right.
And when they first announced it, it's like, I liked them. They had meaning, but as we've talked about, they seem like fun A-team riff in Star Wars. Fun. Where are you going with this? Now I think I'm trying to be much more imaginative of what do they want to do next. And, you know, and I see a lot of value in I'm not saying I think there is an Asajj and Voss show, but if there were, I see a lot of value in it. It is great. Representation. It is a great perspective on the galaxy. And it could be a hidden path show if that's what's going on with Quinlan. I think there are a lot, there's interesting things to explore with these, you know, a Night Sister and a Jedi who've lost everybody else but have each other. And it could be fascinating. I think more than anything, what I'm thinking about now is bracing for Bad Batch. That there's every possibility she just appears.
Yes.
And there's a whole somehow Asajj return vibe. And then later on, whenever Tales of the Jedi come out, is when we get any actual details.
Yeah, that's more I'm thinking every day on Ventress in Bad Batch of being a key part of an episode or a key moment, but that it's the gungy of it all that we dealt with last year. Which is a good thing. Good thing. And Tales, shorts make sense, but anytime I have a little trepidation for a animated show idea, I do remind myself of Bad Batch, where I was like, okay, I was not excited on that day of announcement. I was intrigued, as I always am with new Star Wars, but you know, their appearance in the Clone Wars season 7 was good, solid, fine. I don't know if I'd need it, and now it's my favorite thing. So it always reminds me. Just to keep an open heart with what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got one other question about the Asajj possibilities. There's been discussion with fans of wanting Lucasfilm to sometimes do just one-off animated films. They're very popular in other fandoms. How would you feel if there was just an animated film of Dark Disciple?
I would love thing. It. I would love it. I really don't. I don't like the shorts model. I don't like when it's like 3 minutes, 5 minutes of a story, 10 minutes. Give me a story if you're going to give me the story, right? And I think that it could be more of an event for their streaming platform. I like that. I really struggle with the short format. I mean, I know it serves a purpose, but I want to get the whole meat of it.
I don't disagree. I think I definitely love the first volume of Tales of the Jedi, but even then I watched them all in bunches. So it's like I'm watching two episodes, you know, of Ahsoka, one of Ahsoka, one of Dooku. But the shorts work. It's a great little, for me, to sit down and just have a quick sandwich while watching one. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you, Jen. It all this time waiting for Ventress, and then you just get this little like boop when you want something more. I agree with that. All right. Any final thoughts on this there? And, you know, Joseph, how come Ian McDiarmid didn't give you anything when you met him?
Because he gave everyone exactly the same thing. He turned to them and made eye contact and said, thank you. Then that was That was the extent of the interaction. That was a photo, not a signature, but...
Unrelated. Yeah. Unrelated. I'm not calling any performers out. And look, with, you know, COVID still a thing out there. All these, there's a lot of things that I would not poke anyone at. But there was a photo of Susan Sarandon and Gina Davis at a convention, and they were doing photos. And between them and the person was literally like six boxes.
Oh no!
And they were like, you couldn't even see it was. And people were like, come on! I thought of, you know. Obviously, 2022, things were, you know, we had even more worries. And Ian McDiarmid putting up a glass plane, got it. And that made sense. But just fine. But it was made me laugh.
But boxes to be like, it's almost like some horrible, like weird, like Funko surprise. Like you're taking a picture with a celebrity, but you can't see behind the boxes. Right. Do you know which one?
Do you know which one? And look, I just saw the photo. And who knows? Maybe it was Photoshopped or something. I don't know. Maybe it's a Kate Middleton Photoshop job. I don't know. But I thought of all the stuff there anyway.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Hayden's like doing like these like romantic poses with female fans.
Yes. Our final story of the day is a sad one, but also a chance to look back at a character we love. Actor Michael Culver passed away on March 12th. He was 85. Culver's most known to Star Wars fans as ill-fated and apologetic Captain Lorth Nita in The Empire Strikes Back. Culver had a wonderful and long career in theater and film, as well as being quite the political activist. I was reading a ton about what he did and what he got involved in, and it's great. And, you know, as is the case with these Star Wars actors, especially the original trilogy, wonderful long careers, 8 Doctor Who appearances, runs in theaters, and then they do one line for 3 minutes, and that's all they're remembered for. But I think he had a good sense of humor about it. What are our memories of Michael Culver as Captain Nita, Jennifer?
You know, yeah, it didn't surprise me that he had such an extensive theater background and career, because what he gives in that moment when he realizes he's going to have to talk to Vader and explain himself, it's brilliant. It's like a flash, like a second of panic, and then calm. I'll just give him, you know, give him my apology or whatever. And it's just, and as an audience member, you're like, oh no. And it's just, and then of course, kudos to the team for just then going right into his, to his force choke. There was no, and then of course the classic line, right? But yeah, what a brilliant actor to be able to convey all of that in such just a, you know, few seconds. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why so you cast those talented actors to come in and just make these roles memorable. I learned the valuable lesson that maybe apologizing isn't the way to go. I don't know if that's what's supposed to learn as a 7-year-old when I watched that, but I was always just so upset. He did what was right. It wasn't his fault. I just kept, as a kid, I so upset. It was not his fault. It was not his fault. Mm-hmm. He's taking responsibility. So maybe that's when I learned that Darth Vader wasn't cool. He was actually bad. Joseph, your thoughts on Lorth Nita?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that I love this era of British stage actors where it's like, I know them from Doctor Who, but they appeared, or I know them from Star Wars, but they likely appeared in either Doctor Who or James Bond films.
Right.
And which is it going to be? And then a bunch of, you know, maybe you get lucky and there's a Blake 7, you know, or that. But the lengthy theater careers, and I think... I watched his scene this morning, stepping away from my long history of it as a Star Wars fan and thinking about the character Lorth Nita and thinking about the actor, thinking about just the great direction from Irvin Kershner and the great commitment from that actor to who must have just walked in that set and said, I'm going to apologize to who, why? maybe he saw A New Hope. Maybe he was a fan. Maybe he, you know, commanded some signatures from everybody on set. Who knows? But that utter commitment to be like, I'm going to take this utterly seriously and give it all of the weight that it needs. And it's one of those little moments in Empire that suggests a lot about the Imperial structure.
Yes.
You know, it's also one of my favorite, just like, what are you doing, man, moments in the original trilogy where, like, you know, if there was ever like a rowdy screening of the original trilogy, that'd be one of those moments like, what are you doing? It's really funny, you know, in context of, I'll apologize to him. Like, it doesn't seem like somebody to apologize to. Like, she'll assume a full responsibility and throw someone else under the bus.
Yeah, the Empire Strikes Back is an office film. It's office politics. It's, you got Ozzel, you got Piet, who just shuts up long enough to get promoted, removes the body of his boss. Like Anita.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Surprise there. Love that. Love that. All right. Well, Michael Culver, thank you for your work in Star Wars and your work in life. Political activist, like I said. All right. We're out of here today. This was our look at Star Wars news. What more? We'll break after we get this episode up. We'll find out. But the Acolyte trailer coming tomorrow. If you're listening now here on this release day of this episode, we'll be doing the live stream there. You can find us on these places, on Twitter and Threads at Force Center Pod. We're on Facebook at Force Center Podcast, Instagram as well. We're available on a lot of places as the podcast. Don't forget the Databank Brawl Rewinds, our podcast only right now, as we revisit that series. Podcast is on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Just search and find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. We'll have a new 007 center in April. We have a lot of stuff going on there. Get into the Discord to discuss that Acolyte trailer with some great Star Wars fans. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kennapsok.com. Got a big Easter show coming up here locally. And then Mark Ellis and I traveling to Boston. We'll be at the Rockwell, and also Laugh Boston information on my website. Jen, where can they find you?
You can find me on all the social media sites talking about who knows what, or maybe nothing at all. Maybe Furby, maybe not. At Jennifer Landa, or TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138.
There you go. Joseph, take us home with all your information.
Yeah, you can find me on all the various social media. My handle is at Joseph Scrimshaw. I'm spending time on Blue Sky and Threads and Mastodon and Instagram. So wherever, pick your social media poison and find me there. Other thing, as election time is ramping up, I wanted to mention Vote Forward. This is a thing I do where you can write letters to voters just to encourage them to vote. That's all, just to use their power. And it's been proven to work to get that encouragement for somebody else saying, hey, remember, you have power and you have every right to use it. Makes a difference in getting voter turnout. So that's something that I do. If you're interested in signing up for letters, you can go to votefwd.org.
There you go. Do it. Important time for all of that stuff there. Vote, vote, vote. We'll see you next time here on Force.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.